Welcome to this random kitchen in my temporary home this week. I am Brittany Bass, a full-time passenger seat princess and operations manager of Matt Becker Fishing. For those of you who don't know me yet, I am also Matt Becker's girlfriend. He's a professional bass fisherman with Major League Fishing on the Bass Pro Tour, and we are in full swing of our second year on this tour. Which is why I'm always in random kitchens. So with this channel and podcast, I plan to bring some of the best wives, fiancés, and girlfriends on to talk about their lives, their families, their superstitions, because we got them too, so that you can hear from our side all the behind-the-scenes goodness that goes into making a tournament season great and possible. So this is episode 16 of Random Kitchens.
About fell over.
I would not. Okay. You think that's good? Are you ready?
Is this good? Am I on?
You're in camera, yeah, but we're you live? Have to look here.
Oh, we're live?
We are live.
Okay, we're live.
Okay. This is just, you don't have to do anything with that.
Okay, I'm just talking.
Yes, okay.
I'm the hired help.
The bribed hired help. No, I'm kidding. Okay, welcome back everyone. We are currently sitting in Florida getting ready for Heavy Hitters or the Heavy Hitters Tournament on the Kissimmee Chain this week. So when this episode airs, all the guys will be practicing and it'll officially start on Saturday. So today obviously is a little different because I don't know if you can tell by the lack of hair and the addition of a Y chromosome.
Hey, I have a little bit of hair.
No, I mean like long hair. Oh. But there is a man in my kitchen today instead of a wife, girlfriend, or fiance. But I am very excited to introduce you guys to the man that pulled me into this world, the best fisherman that I know, and the even better human, my person, professional angler, Matt Becker. So welcome to this kitchen that is also yours this week.
Yes. Thank you. I feel welcome.
Good. So like I said, we're sitting in our temporary home this week in Florida. It's a specialty event, the Heavy Hitters. You actually have to qualify the previous year, so the top 30, or there's 30 anglers that qualified, and they qualified by their big, did you just yawn? Their biggest bass from every tournament. So it's like their biggest bag, the top 30 with the biggest bags qualified for this, Heavy Hitters. So super fun event, and I'm looking forward to it. It is his first year doing Heavy Hitters, which means it's my first year doing Heavy Hitters.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. A lot of money up for grabs, so that's what we're here for.
Yeah. So not only are they paying the tournament cash, but they're also paying a lot of money for big fish of each day, which is super, super exciting. So, and just to let you guys know, I did not bribe him to be here. He said okay easily, super easy.
Bribed.
Not bribed.
I was bribed.
So, obviously, babe, you know I did a podcast about our story, his story. But it was one-sided, obviously, because it was just me telling it. So it actually was episode 3 on the channel. If you haven't watched it, it's a good one. It just kind of goes into how we met, and then how obviously he got into this world. But for this interview, I'm going to ask him some questions about us, our lives. Okay, I know
just
I'm
noticed.
Red.
We're matching.
Oh, we are matching. I thought you were talking about my redness.
Oh, yeah. You got
I got really red today. Yeah, we went out on the water for a little bit, so excuse the hair and the very red arms. But I'm going to ask you some questions about us, our life, and tournament season. Does that sound good?
What if I say no?
Yeah, you can't. It's
yeah,
really,
exactly.
You can't. Okay.
This is weird. I'm getting hounded. I'm getting interviewed by
me.
Brittany.
I know. Whew. You're not getting hounded?
I'm getting interviewed.
So, every episode, I put a picture of the families up in addition to talking. So, just so everyone can see, I'm also going to put some pictures.
What do I need a picture for? They
no!
Got, this
well,
is the picture right here.
No, our
Jeez,
life. Wow. Our life. Photos of our life. So, I'm going to put a couple right here so that you can see us that may or may not have made it to Instagram. Which, keep acting up and it'll be all ones of you snoring.
I don't snore.
He snores. So, for people who don't know you or have followed us at all, who are you? Where are you from?
Who am I?
Who are you?
I am Matt Becker.
Yeah, where are you from?
I am from 10 Mile, Tennessee.
He's lying. So he always messes this up. He is not from 10 Mile, Tennessee. We currently live there.
No, if somebody asks you
where... You are from...
No. If a stranger asks you where you're from, they want to know where you currently live.
No, they don't.
They don't
want
to know your life story, where you were born.
Y'all tell us if they want to know where you're from, they mean hometown. They mean where you were born, grew up.
If you're at a restaurant, like we were eating breakfast this morning, and the server was like, oh, where are you guys from? He wants to know where you currently live. He doesn't want to know where you were born and grew up.
Okay, well, so where were you born?
Currently, I live in Tennessee.
We live in Tennessee.
And I was born in Pennsylvania, in Findlayville, Pennsylvania, just south of Pittsburgh. And that's where I was born and raised and spent 28 years
most
of my
his
life.
So where he's from is where he's from.
So, yeah, I mean... Technically, that's where I grew up, and I'm definitely a Pittsburgher, a Yinzer at heart, and that's what I was born as, but I am being transformed into a Tennessean.
Yep, you are kind of.
Yes. But that was strictly a business decision for the fishing side of things.
You know, the move.
Yeah.
We are in the center of basically anywhere we could possibly go. Everywhere is like 9 hours, like Oklahoma. Like 10. Florida, 9.5. Inside, you know, end of Virginia, 8. Like, everything is, you know, within that time frame. So, it actually has been super awesome. We get one day of travel versus 2 days of travel. So, how many years have you been professionally fishing?
This is my 7th season, I believe, full-time.
7th, and...
I believe.
Yeah, this is... 7th.
18, 19, 20, 21,
22, 23, 24.
That's
7. How many of those have I been with you?
Let's see. So you came to your first tournament in 2020.
The end of the 2020 season.
You did the whole 2021 season, 2022 season, 2023 season, 2024 season.
I didn't even realize
so
five.
This, technically, I've this is your fourth seasons. Full season, but you came into the picture in 2020 and came to a couple of the events. So
yeah.
Technically, I guess 4.5 seasons, 5 seasons.
Oh, so all the goodness started.
I mean, you could say that. You can say that. I mean, you could look at my trajectory of my career, and we were both rising at the same time that we met, and it just kind of escalated the rise, I guess you would say. But there's no telling what if it would have been a downfall if I didn't meet you, or could have been a faster.
It could have been a faster downfall meeting me too.
There's no telling.
I know. I mean, he did just... when we first started dating. Well, actually, I said this to him before he even had the chance to say it. But when we first started dating, I remember telling him, like, now I understand, like, if you start sucking, like, this has to end. Like, I get it. I will not take it personally. And obviously, we were like fairly new. So if it was going badly at the beginning, it would have been. It would have just been bad.
Yep, you can't have the bad juju, so.
No.
Gotta end it quick.
Will you be buying us any more sod anytime soon?
Sod, yeah, absolutely. We're professional landscapers now, if you guys haven't heard, but.
They heard last week and saw pictures.
Part-time fisherman, full-time landscaper.
Just if we need, you know, another hobby, another.
That's not a hobby, no.
Another job. It's not good.
I really admire the people that lay sod every day.
100%.
That's impressive.
It's so impressive.
That wore me out.
Ooh.
I can't handle that. So, no. I don't think anytime soon, but
gosh.
I definitely want to get some more sod eventually to finish the yard. But we only did about half of the front yard, so.
And the sod we had delivered was like little, I mean, not lit. It wasn't this big. It was like this big by like 3 feet. And we were coming down to Florida, and on the highway, we saw a sod delivery truck with a gigantic roll that looked like, I mean. like football stadium length, like huge. I was like, why didn't we get those?
I don't think we'd be able to handle that.
Well, we wouldn't be able to lift it, but no. We could get a couple people. Then we could just push it down the hill. Maybe next time.
Maybe there won't be a next time.
Hopefully not. Hopefully the grass maybe just the grows grass will and just spreads.
Magically grow by itself.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. They know that we met online. We met on Bumble with my pickup line. But do you remember why you swiped on me?
It was one of those just swipe on
everybody. Shut up. It was not.
See who comes back.
Liar. You're such a liar.
No, I don't remember specifically what caused me to swipe. I really don't remember anything specific about that. But I just remember, I spent my time and looked through the profiles and everything. It was like, yeah, this girl seems interesting. Let's see if she likes me.
Like medium crazy?
I mean, that's debatable. That's debatable, but that, I mean, yeah, sure. Medium crazy.
Medium crazy. She looked medium crazy. So dating as a fisherman, obviously, is a daunting task in itself. Dating in general is a daunting task, but then as a fisherman, like, were you worried about finding someone that would get this life or, like, meld in?
For sure. For sure. I mean, living this lifestyle takes a certain level of selfishness that, like, I have to be all about myself and what I'm doing on the water, and kind of puts old Brittany or any relationship kind of on the back burner for certain times. So definitely it's daunting for sure. And I mean, I was a little concerned about it, but I mean, like, a big man takes care of it all. So I knew if it was meant to be, everything would work out just fine.
So when you thought about what you wanted in a future family, like, what did it look like?
Pretty much exactly what we have right now. Traveling the world, fishing tournaments. You know, I didn't really want to be with someone that wanted to stay at home or had to stay at home for a job. I mean, I wanted to be able to travel together and, you know, not be in a hurry to go home after a tournament. You know, that's the main thing, is like, I got to be fully focused on my job on the road. So to have, I mean, I hate to call a relationship a distraction, but if you have somebody sitting at home that's like egging you on to get back home as soon as you can with, you know, family or kids or whatever back at the house, like, you almost fish differently and you don't perform the same because you're thinking about getting home as soon as you can. So that was like high on my priority list, was to find somebody that was okay with that life and potentially wanted to just quit everything and travel with me. And I think that's what I found.
Yeah. I can, like, pretty much be happy living, he always says, in like a dumpster as long as it has Edison lights. So I really had, like, no ties to anything as far as, like, obviously I had a job and I loved that job. And it actually allowed me to travel for a little bit until we could kind of get, you know, everything in order.
Did it, though?
No, I mean, okay, so COVID allowed me to travel with my job because, oh, no, you turned that on. Because it was not a remote job until COVID, and obviously there is tons of feelings around COVID, but for me, it was kind of a blessing in disguise because I was able to travel a little bit at the beginning of that, so that was super awesome. And then obviously when we moved to Tennessee, I left that job and started working for him full time, so lucky him.
Yep.
I'm technically his boss.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. No, you just gotta remind him every now and then.
No.
So, were you nervous for our first date?
No, I don't really get nervous.
I know. It's so frustrating. He's so level-headed. I was nervous. I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, what does getting nervous do? Like, you can be anxious, I guess, and that's more, like, excited about a thing. But,
well, I was excited.
Nervous is just, like, you're just worrying about something that hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, I think that's, like, a me trait. Not obviously. I worry for the both of us, because clearly.
No, I don't get nervous really about anything.
I know. It's actually pretty crazy. he's the yin and the yang. I am just like this Funkus. All the time, and he's like this. So we get to the same place, but very different. Very different. So what do you think the hardest part of being in a relationship with a tournament angler is?
Well, like I said, it's just the travel, you know, being away from home. If you don't have somebody that travels with you, I mean, that is very tough on a relationship because you got somebody that's, well, they're both apart. I mean, they're both by themselves, but, you know, the tournament angler side of things, he comes to a tournament, hanging out with his buddies, having a good time, you know, in the evenings after, you know, work or after practice, after the tournament. So, like, it gets tough on a relationships because, you know, the person sitting at home sometimes can get a little jealous of that just because, like, you know,
they're stuck at home
taking care of everything, and you're out traveling everywhere, eating good food, you know, having a good time and fishing for a living. So that's definitely the hardest part about it, just because, and, you know, this is the time apart, but that was why it was high on my priority list to have somebody that could travel with me, so I didn't have to worry about that.
And what do you think the best part about living at U is, a tournament angler?
All the traveling together. I mean, we get to drive around the country, although driving with you is questionable at best, but...
Well, he's a bad driver. He But we're coming to an understanding about his braking. He doesn't brake. So if you ever see us on the highway, just don't get in front of us at all. No. Also, don't get behind us. Just stay away from us. Like,
you got these pretty eyes, but your depth perception is definitely off.
That is true. I think my depth is a little bit low.
She'll tell me that his driving car is really stopped bad. That's a mile ahead of us. It's like, I clearly see him.
No, they're stopping, and he doesn't see that they are stopping.
Yeah, but the travel. Being in all these different places, it's such a fun lifestyle, and it's awesome for sure.
So what is your all-time favorite fishing memory up to this point of your life? It can be obviously, like, with us, without us, like, your family, any of it, or in a tournament, any of it. I know, it's loaded.
Favorite fishing memory? I mean, we just got to go with the obvious of Saginaw Bay last year. I mean, that was just an awesome experience to win win the tournament and Angler of the Year in the same day on the last day of the season. And then to have, you know, Brittany and my dad and Sheila and aunt and uncle there, have a bunch of family there. I mean, that was just so cool. So, like, that one sticks out just because it's, I mean, one of the most recent things that have happened, but it was that's a memory that'll be hard to top for sure.
And what about non-fishing memory?
Non-fishing memory. For us, I would say, I mean, since this is about us, we'll just go with that. I would probably say when we about killed ourselves hiking in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah. That was like the best and worst experience ever. I mean, worst.
You go back
it was
to,
like the best, like, but... insanely
go back
so.
To Brittany's directionally challenged and depth perception challenge. She planned us some hikes into the Grand Canyon, and I'm just there as the tag along. I'm like, oh yeah, this sounds good.
Blindly following
Brittany, and then it
I'm
turns
like,
out
it's like 6 miles.
Oh no, she's like, it's just 3.4 miles, and then we're there. And then we end up hiking from the top of the Grand Canyon all the way down to the river, and it was 8.5 miles in, and then 8.5 miles out. So we hiked 17 plus miles that day. And
well, and also and it was like an elevation change of like almost 6,000 feet. So I think it was like 5.2 actually, so I'm exaggerating, which you're not supposed to do in a day. You can basically give yourself like the dens by doing that. Didn't realize that. But once we saw the water, we were like, well, we might as well go on down.
Yeah, that was a good memory, though.
It was awesome. I mean, like, it was insanely beautiful. And when you look at the Grand Canyon, you can't even see, like, how deep it goes. You see one level of deepness, and then it just goes and goes and goes.
Oh, yeah, you don't truly appreciate the Grand Canyon until you hike from the top to the river and back. That'll truly make you appreciate the Grand
Canyon. How big it is. Like, it's insanity. And we say almost died because, like you said, we did not bring enough food and water. And I was basically dying until, I guess it was like the bot, like from the river up. That first 2 miles, I was like really, really struggling. I thought I was going to die and he was going to have to leave us. Leave me and go get somebody. So it was super interesting. But then I got a Clif Bar in me and I was good for a little bit longer. It was crazy, but it was awesome.
Made it work. Yep.
That was
a good memory for sure. That's something I'll never forget.
That specific event was where I like knew that he would take care of me, like, and protect me and like be like, I was like, all right, like I am settled in. Like I completely understand who he is as a person and like his priorities. So if you ever need that, go and hike the Grand Canyon with your person, and you will find out what type of person they are.
You'll learn a lot about life.
Yeah, a lot. So, what is something that you like to do that's just for you? Let's do while you're at home.
When we're at home, like I mean.
What do you do that's like just like recharge or like just like a wind down thing?
Cook on the grill?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought that or brush hogging.
Cutting grass on the tractor is pretty soothing as well. I was cutting the other day and I was thinking like this is like recharge zone. Just hop on the zero turn and just kind of put in some headphones, listen to something and just kind of zone out.
Zoom around.
Yeah. So that's definitely, you know, working around the house is something that I do to like take my mind off of work / fishing for a little bit and just kind of put myself through a little torture to make me kind of remind myself how lucky I am to fish for a living. That's, you know, it's all part of it. It's like every once in a while you need a little kick in the butt to be like, yeah, I'm pretty blessed to live this life, so like I'm glad I'm not laying sod every day or cutting grass for a living. So doing a little hard labor around the house, it's like
a reset.
Yeah, it's a good like reset, and it just mentally charges me to get back out on the water and go fishing again.
And what about when you're on the road? Is there anything that you do that's just for you while you're on the road?
Not really. It's all business.
Yeah.
You know that. Either fishing, I'm either rigging tackle, or I'm going to bed.
Or eating,
yes.
He eats a lot.
I mean, that's, you know, keeping my body in shape to go fish.
Yeah, for sure. So did you always know this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as long as I can remember, I've always been fishing and watching it on TV, but then it was like, you know, didn't really understand how to fish professionally or make a living, and you know, just knew I loved fishing and loved tournament fishing. I don't remember the exact age that it was like, this is what I want to do, but it was pretty early on for sure. And
like driving age?
I would say probably before that. I don't know exactly, but
yeah.
It was definitely pretty early on where I was set on this, but I did, like I said, I didn't know how. It was just like a pipe dream. It's like, sure, I want to do that, but I don't know how or where to even start. So basically I just, you know, got into local tournaments, and I figured that was the best way to get to the highest level, was to just start at the bottom and just fish as much as you can. And then from there, I just kind of stepped my way all the way up the ladder. And I mean, it's never like I had like a set plan as a kid to get somewhere or whatever. It's just like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to figure out a way to do it. I don't know how or where or when, but that's what I want to do. And here we are. Somehow we made it work.
Yeah. And that was always, obviously, you guys know we talk about like the passion around this. That was always something that I like so much admired about him, and just like the way he does things now is just like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I need to do to get here. Or if I don't know how, to get there, like, I'm just going to ask around or figure it out or, like, find someone who knows or research it. It was never, like, there's, like, never an obstacle for him.
I don't really believe in that, like, if, like, obstacles or whatever. Like, we just had this discussion at the last tournament with the guys. It's like, I'm the type of person that I feel like if you give me enough motivation or enough time to do something, like, I feel like I could do anything. Like, we were watching professional bowling and they were like, do you think you could win a bowling tournament? And I was like, if you give me like 2 to 3 years, I guarantee you I could be a top level bowler if, like, I have enough motivation or, you know, a reason. Like, I need a reason to do it, whether it's financial reason or just to prove somebody wrong and be self-motivated. Like, if you give me enough of a reason, like, I feel like I can do anything. And I'll put all the time and effort and whatever it takes to get there. And, I mean, that's kind of how I got into being a professional fisherman, because, you know, I didn't come from any money or anything. So, like, looking back at the situation, there's no way I should have ever been where I'm at, you know. Should have never been able to afford everything that I was buying. And I mean, even as I was doing it, I probably shouldn't have been spending the money that way. But to me, it was like there was no second guessing, no other option. It was like, this is what I have to do to get where I want to be one day. And it worked out, thankfully.
Yes. And it's awesome. I just love it. But yeah, definitely charging through, no obstacles, just like busting down all the walls that would ever be in his path, which is awesome. And I think I could be behind the bowling thing. We actually are the guys, like, that he's mentioning there at our house we stay in Airbnbs with is him. This year it's us, the Sheffield, so Spencer and Kristen, Matt, Stefan, and Drew Gill. And the boys have gotten heavily into bowling. And we actually, meaning Matt and I, we were watching it the other night, and we found out that the semifinals are also in Kissimmee.
No, it's the PBA playoff championship round.
Oh.
Is here in Kissimmee, Florida in just a few days. So,
and we are going.
We got tickets and we're going to go see what live bowling is all about. I've never been to a live bowling match.
No, we just watched them on TV.
Or a game? I don't know. We're just going to go investigate and see what it's all about.
And we're super stoked because the guys that we've been watching on TV are actually the ones that we get to see. They're bowling against each other. So
yeah, I just think it's very similar to the fishing world, and I'm kind of intrigued by it and just feel like there's things to learn as far as, I mean, one, like, kind of the personalities that are in it and how they hype that up, and then just, you know, all, I feel like every person that is at the highest level of whatever it is they do, I feel like I kind of have something in common with them. And like, when I have a conversation with those type of people, like, I feel like things just click differently with us, I guess. Not that I'm gonna go meet any of these bowlers, but I just kind of am intrigued by watching them and, you know, just kind of seeing their whole process and just learning little things about that. It's always interesting to me.
Yeah, so that will be a fun experience. I'll have to let you guys know how that goes. It's on Sunday this week. So what do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about professional fishing?
That it's easy?
Yeah.
No, fishing's easy. You just go out and sit under the shade tree, throw out your bobber with a cricket on it, and just reel them in all day.
So simple.
That's what I would say the average person, if we walked into the grocery store tonight and asked somebody what they think about fishing, I feel like that's what they would say. And I mean, what I do is couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, it is a very athletic, trying,
methodical
sport. Yeah. If you want to call fishing a sport, I don't know.
It is a sport.
That gets tricky calling it a sport, but yeah, it's there's no relaxing, there's no sitting down in the shade tree. I mean, it's like I start practice tomorrow and I'll be out from, I believe, 6 a.m. until 8:30 p.m. So that's a long day. What is that, 14 hours?
Yeah, tomorrow, the next day. 14 hour
day in the Florida sun. I mean, that's a long day. Be out there, I mean, just constantly fishing and really as much mentally exhausting as it is physically exhausting. So like you're constantly thinking, or at least I'm constantly thinking about what the fish could be doing, you know, could they be here, could they be here? I mean, it's constantly trying to figure out a puzzle that's under the water that you essentially can't see. So, I mean, there's a lot of thinking involved, high level thinking, you know, trying to figure out what these fish are doing. And very, very detailed, highly detailed and very intricate on all the little details and everything. So it's definitely not a relaxing day out under the shade tree, that's for sure.
I wish. That would be awesome. So you kind of mentioned this, but is your favorite moment of your entire career Saginaw Bay?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's either that one or Lake Murray. Winning at Lake Murray was kind of like a confidence thing. It was like, hey, like, you know, up until that point, I always knew I was like a good fisherman, but didn't know if I could win a tournament or if I could be a great fisherman. It was just like, yeah, you're consistently in the top of the standings, like you're doing well, but you know, you're never going to win a tournament. It's just like, you're just going to be a solid fisherman. And then winning at Lake Murray kind of relieved that pressure, you know, gave me that confidence that like, all right, you can beat anybody on any lake. So that was definitely one of the favorite moments, and just how that tournament went down, it was a lot of fun. I mean,
yeah, that's still probably one of his favorite places. I know he would say
a great lake.
Champlain is probably his like favorite lake, but Murray is a really good one.
It's up there on the list for sure.
It's just too much fun.
Probably my favorite southern lake.
Yeah, too much fun. So what is our typical tournament routine, or your typical tournament routine, I guess?
Wake up, go to the lake, and go fish.
Oh, is it that simple? It's that simple?
When you simplify things, they're really simple.
Oh my gosh. So I
don't know what you mean as far as a routine. I mean, literally, we wake up and Brittany cooks us breakfast and packs our lunch. So I roll out of bed when my alarm goes off and put on some clothes and walk out and put my lunch and breakfast in a little grocery bag with a few drinks and march my little happy butt out to the boat and pack them in the cooler, and then off to the lake I go.
Yes.
That's pretty much my typical tournament or tournament practice day right there. It's pretty simple.
And actually let me back up a little bit. So obviously that's his like morning. I drop him in the water and obviously watch him leave. But we do stay at Airbnbs, like we said, mainly so we can cook and have access to a full kitchen. So what is your favorite meal during tournaments? Or do we have any traditions as far as meals go?
I mean, generally you mix things up on the meals, but it's always before the first tournament day is spaghetti.
Yes.
That's a must. That's probably my favorite tournament week meal, just because it's a big carb load before a tournament day. Not that that really matters, but it's
not for him anyways. If I ate as much spaghetti as these guys, I would look like
a
spaghetti.
It's a good routine, but as far as superstitions, I mean, I don't think that's
it's not a superstition, it's a tradition.
Yeah, I guess, but
that one's a tradition. Every night before the tournament.
We're in a little
tournament.
Bit of a slump right now, so we may have to switch up some of these superstitions or traditions.
I was gonna say, do you have any superstitions or traditions, or do we?
Nothing right now. I'm gonna switch up everything I've been doing and try and get out of this slump. I mean, I had to shave my mustache.
He shaved off his mustache.
I've been wearing the same lucky underwear for every tournament day for the last year
and
a half.
I haven't told anyone about that.
I'm considering switching things up.
You can't even. Not for this tournament.
I'm considering it.
No one knows about his lucky underwear.
Yeah, no one wants to know about my thongs anyway.
They are not thongs. Me and my sister got in this pair of underwear from Arizona, and it was like right after kind of a string of terrible tournaments. And this one tournament in particular, he had brought in six fish instead of five. It was just like a string of terrible. For in his standards, obviously, I never think it's terrible, but that's just me. So we had brought back this pair of underwear, and since then, he has worn them, and obviously, last year was a phenomenal year.
Yeah, I think the luck has worn off them, to be honest. So
I did get him another, a different pair. You can try the yellow pair. Them up.
I don't know. This tournament's going to be the deciding factor. So if if we don't have a good tournament in the lucky underwear here, it might be time to move on. Start experimenting with other underwear, see if we can find another lucky pair.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll show you guys a picture of these underwear.
Oh, yeah, I'll model them right now. Actually,
No! Holy jeez. All right, any other superstitions or traditions that we have?
Not really. But, yeah, I mean, we have cookies and ice cream the night before, but
Is it a specific kind of ice cream?
No, I mean, it's not. It hasn't been as strict as
Well, it's not strict, but we have it.
No, superstition is like you must do this before.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, we don't really have those, but we have things like that we do, which, and pretty routinely, so, like, eat what kind of ice cream?
Mint chocolate chip ice cream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can't be the white mint chocolate chip. It has to be the...
Well, green. Green is money. So, I mean, that's where it all came from. And, but, that this is, like, this is my thing with superstitions. And, like, this is why I don't get very set on attached to superstitions because if superstitions were a thing, you would win every single time. You would never lose. So like once you do something and don't win, that superstition is
null and void.
It's like a playoff beard. All the people in NHL hockey, they grow a playoff beard. They don't shave the entire length of the playoffs. Well, okay, there's 16 teams that get into the playoffs and only one team wins every year. So why are the other 15 teams growing out their facial hair? It makes no sense if you logically think about it. So that's how I feel about superstitions. It's just like...
Well, ours are more like things you do.
If I ate mint chocolate chip ice cream every night and I won every single tournament, yes, I would eat mint chocolate chip ice cream every single night. But it's not that way.
No, so but we get it and we eat it, and he always takes cookies with him.
I
mean,
it's one of my favorite ice cream anyway, so I do enjoy it, but I don't consider it a superstition.
No, more of a tradition. I know, my mom hates the word superstitions, which I don't really have like a good alternative to like get across what I'm trying to ask, but it's more like things you do every tournament or like things you like to do every tournament. Okay. How do you cope with all of the tournament stress? Because obviously, like we've said, it is a job. These weeks are our work weeks. So generally, when we go home, it's a relaxing time, unless this one gets an idea.
Yeah, I told you, I need to work when I go home. It's a mental reset.
I do not need to work when I go home.
That's how I deal with the tournament stress.
Is that how you cope with it?
Yes, I abuse myself when I get home with
jobs.
Labor.
Yeah,
hard manual labor at the house. That's how I cope with the tournament stress.
So,
but during the tournament, I am straight focused, and I feel like mental fortitude is one of my strengths. So I try not to let things bother me outside of exactly what I'm doing, and I feel like I kind of bottle it up until I get home.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, because I was, when I, like, came into this relationship, I was a little concerned on, like, okay, what if he has a bad tournament? Like, how is he going to react? Because in my past, I, like, was around people who reacted terribly to bad things. Like, it was never, like, a even thing or, like, they, you know, understood and comprehended it. So, I remember, like, the first, like, rougher tournament And I say rougher because, obviously, in 2021, he won a tournament that year. But that same year, he had two really rough days. And I remember being like, oh, this is going to be where it is, where he explodes because he's so level-headed. But, like, none of that. And I was so surprised. And I still can't believe how well he handles just, like, all of it. I mean, like, truly, like, all of the tournament stress. Because it, for me, I am so not like that. Like, I wear every bit of emotion on my sleeve. But it's, like, I don't know. I think you just, like, comprehend it well. Or like,
yeah, I got to think about it. Mentally process it. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sit there and talk about it. But I got to, I mean,
digest it or something.
Yeah, like, I need some time to not talk and just sit there and think. Process it myself. But that's, I mean, generally that happens on the boat ride back to the ramp.
Yeah. So then when I see him, like, not that he's, like, enthusiastic, but normally he's like, all right, like, let's go get something to eat. Or, like, I can't believe I did that, but, like, let's go get something to eat. Like, it's so different. I know it's almost his bedtime. We were originally going to film this earlier.
It's 9:17.
But it was
way past my bedtime.
It was storming, so I thought we could film during the day. And then it, obviously, it's Florida, so it was only, like, 10 minutes of a storm. So we're filming this at night, which obviously is why he is sleeping. But, yeah, like, I can't believe how level-headed you are. So it actually is crazy. I have to process things out loud, and he processes them in his head. So that is, like, a huge difference between us. Like, normally I want to ask a whole bunch of questions, and I've had to learn to, like, I just sit there quietly, and eventually he will give me, like, whatever, you know, he wants to say about it, but he has to think through it for sure. So, knowing what you know about this lifestyle, what's a piece of advice that you have for new anglers coming up? And I would say sport. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, our life. It can be, like, just in general.
I don't know. So, like, I got, generally when I'm asked that type of question, it's for the angler side of things, the fishing side of things. So, like,
what about the family side?
I don't have any advice for that, because like, our situation's unique, or you get to travel with me. So, like, that's my piece of advice. Find someone who could travel with you. But I know,
or
that's
find
not,
a way for them too.
That's not realistic. So yeah. I don't know what I would say for as far as a piece of advice. That's a tricky one.
One last question, and we'll wrap up with a few quick hits. What are you most proud of that we have accomplished together, fishing or non-fishing related?
Probably everything we've done with the house in Tennessee. I mean, we've done a lot of work to that and took it from a house to a home. So I would say that's probably our thing that I'm most proud of. Everything we've done with the house.
I know, I love it.
A lot.
I love our house. It is definitely ours. And there has been a lot, because Project Lover over here.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up with a few quick hits. So what is your PB and where did you catch it?
PB, personal best.
Yes.
That is, I think it's 9 pounds, 1 ounce at Lake Seminole.
Oh, where is Seminole?
Seminole is in Georgia, Florida. Majority of it's in Georgia. There's a little portion that's in Florida.
And what,
yeah,
if you had to pick a go-to show or movie? He is not a TV watcher, obviously.
No,
you guys probably figured that out.
I don't watch a whole lot of TV or movies.
If you had to pick one, though, what's your all-time favorite?
I mean, we always just put on The Office and just let it play. So that's a
good show.
Just dumb enough humor. I don't have to think.
It's fabulous. And then what is your favorite thing that I do for you during a tournament?
Favorite thing? I'm not going to count, like, all the cooking and everything, because that gets specific, but definitely having the trailer in the water when I come back after the tournament's over. Like, I love that part. And my boat officials really appreciate it as well, because we literally come idling in, and Brittany's there backing in the trailer, and we just go right on the trailer, no waiting around. It just makes everything flow very smooth and get out of there as soon as possible. So that is perfect.
And if we played Uno together with a group and you had a draw 4 card, would you play it on me Little old me.
You know the answer.
Would you wait until you got a reverse?
Because we've played Uno many a time, and I always play it on you.
Ruthless. Yes. Absolutely ruthless.
I'm a competitor. Doesn't
okay.
matter that I love you. I'm a competitor. I want to win at all costs. Within the rules, I will play any card I can.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that is our show this week. Thank you for being here.
It's bedtime.
Unbribed. It's bedtime for you. So if people want to follow you, where can they look?
Everywhere. Just Google search my name and you can find me everywhere.
And?
Instagram, Matt Becker, M. Becker Fishing. Yeah. Facebook, Matt Becker Fishing. YouTube, Matt Becker Fishing.
TikTok. M. Becker Fishing.
Yep. Website, Matt Becker Fishing.
Lots of Matt Becker Fishing.
Yeah. OnlyFans.
Stop. We have Matt not Becker started fishing. That yet. I'm trying to get him on Feet Finder, y'all. He's got the cutest feet ever.
Oh, we weren't supposed to talk about that yet. That's in the works. Coming soon.
Coming soon. Subscription.
Yeah. Hey, if people want to pay $5 a month, I mean, I'll show them my feet.
Well, don't show them on this camera because
maybe
this
more than
is for
$5
free.
A month. It'd probably be $10 a month. I think my
Get
feet
out
are pretty
here.
Nice. They're tan right now. They're beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to bed.
All right. Okay, you guys know that I love this world. I love professional bass fishing. And generally, it's a woman right here, and I love the women behind professional bass fishing. But I do love this man that got me involved in this life. It is so fun and so crazy. So if you guys have any questions that you want me to ask future guests that you want to see on, I'm trying to work out the coffee or group setting, getting that together. Hopefully more toward the end of this year, we'll be able to do that. But until then, I plan to release one episode a week throughout this year, the 2024 season. So make sure you subscribe to follow along. There's Winder right here. He's making faces at me. But make sure you subscribe to follow along. And we do have a Instagram. It's Random Kitchens Podcast. So if you follow that, then you can kind of keep up to date on when everything is dropping. And if I am slow 1 week, which obviously the last two I have been, or if something happens. So go and follow that. Please subscribe. Leave me any likes and comments below. And thank you for listening. See you next week.